There was a prominent family who was approaching a milestone in their family, their dad's 80th birthday. And so what they wanted to do in a very kind of particular way to celebrate and commemorate that is they wanted to get kind of a history, a family history, and put it in a book and present it to him. But they knew Dad was kind of proud. He was a very proud man, and like all of us in terms of families, we like to put the best face of the family forward. We don't like any scandals. We like to kind of cover them and put them under the rug, so to speak. And well, there was a scandal in the family. It was Dad's uncle, George, was convicted and died in the electric chair. So they were worried about how they were going to approach this, and so they got a professional writer, and they explained the whole situation to the professional writer, and the professional writer said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." The day came, and they had the bound book, and they presented it to Dad. Dad opened up, and there was a section on Uncle George, and what the professional writer wrote, he said, "Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics in an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock." For all of us, we can take whatever is placed before us and we could put spin to it. We kind of know that. We know that as we kind of listen to everything, and you know, basically by commentators on the either on the radio or on television, and you can hear about one event and hear two or three or four or five or even six different takes on it. It's different spins that individuals place on it. Today, we're talking about a scribe who comes to Jesus, and he's asking him a question. Now, I want you to reflect on this, that most of the time when someone is confronting Jesus, it's really kind of to trap him, to put him in a position that they can use later. They attempt to challenge him because they already have a preconceived notion of an answer that they want, and now they're going to try to get him. But in this sense, you know, what Mark kind of leads us to say is the scribe who's coming up to him is asking an honest question. And that question is, "Look, Lord, we've got a multitude of laws that we have to obey. So many. What's the law? What's the law that you would say is the priority? What is it that we have to turn to and we have to acknowledge?" It's a challenging question. It was a challenging question for all the teachers of that time. So it's not something which is basically would have been new to those individuals, but certainly it's a challenge to the teaching authority, to the ability of the rabbi to respond. And of course, Jesus responds with the Shema Israel from Deuteronomy, which is the foundation, cornerstone of everything, of all the laws. If you don't understand this law, then everything else is wiped away. Everything. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that motivates our entire being, that causes us to take our whole person and dedicate that, our life, to His, because we realize there is no life apart from Him. But Jesus goes further. And interestingly enough, you know, in this very cathedral, yesterday, I ordained our seventh priest, newly ordained for this year for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. We were truly blessed. Enrique Hernandez is his name, and he will be serving in Francis Cabrini, Father Jeff Haynes' former parish. So a lot of his parishioners were here yesterday and, of course, wanted to steal their pastor back to Francis Cabrini. But they're being well served by Father Nate Reisman, who was under his tutelage and for a while. But Enrique came here, and interesting, one of the questions that's posed, "Are you ready to be ordained?" Is the sense of the disposition of the candidate. You know, will you we administer the sacraments reverently for the sake of the people, on and on and on. But then there's one thing. Will you pray unceasingly for the good of the church and the people of God? And immediately any ordained cleric knows that what that is a reference to is the breviary. And the church makes a demand on her priest in order to pray. And it's the prayer of the church. It's the church praying for you, for me, for the entire world, for the church visible in this our society, in our world. And the priest is called to do that at various times during the day. Yesterday's evening prayer, the reading for night prayer, was this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today. Drill them into your children. Speak of them at home and abroad, whether you are busy or at rest. The Shema Israel. That was the reading for yesterday's night prayer. And it's so critical that we understand how important that is, a cornerstone. And then Jesus adds something. What does he add? And the second is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because all of a sudden you take a look at how do I love God? How do I love this God or add anything to this God that is all perfect as a being? I can't, but I can love my brothers and sisters in his name as a reflection of the love that I have for him, as a demonstration of recognizing his presence in their lives and in my life. The very cornerstone of our existence as Christians, as Catholics, is the fact that we embrace a God who is love. We embrace a God who is love and makes that demand upon us to love others in his name. To love others. There is little doubt in my mind that as a church, we are experiencing a difficulty in terms of our identity in the society. And various bishops and priests have demonstrated and taken a strong teaching stance in relationship to various issues. And you know, they need to do that. They need to do that because they need to proclaim the truth. That is their role, to be able to hold out to the community, to be able to hold out to the entire society, the sense of God's presence and the responsibility to our brothers and sisters. But the basis for that has to be one thing. That basis for the reason, the rationale of why we do what we do is for the love of God. It's charity which takes over our role and our relationship when even we become that prophetic teacher to a society that seemingly at times rejects those notions. It's charity. And why is it charity? It's charity because our motivation is not a self-righteousness, but our motivation is, I love and care about our brothers and sisters. I love and care about our community. And I want us to be in a right relationship with God, who is the basis and foundation of all of our lives. So we can see how challenging that is. St. Augustine whittled down that whole phrase to love and do what you will. Well, that sounds pretty flippant, I'm sure, in terms of the society, unless you know what love is. Unless you know that love is grounded in doing what God's will is. And then if you know that, then whatever you do is based upon that act of love. that motivation, that sense, to bring people into a right relationship, not only with one another, but with God. And therefore, Jesus offers that challenge in the Shema Israel by quoting that immediately to the scribe. You know, there's a bit of irony in Mark's gospel at the end of it. Jesus says, and when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, because he repeats what Jesus says, and he said, you rightly say it. This is really good. You know, he's almost like applauding Jesus for what he says. When Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, Jesus says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Think about it. The scribe was standing close to Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. So, ironically, he's telling him, you're not far. Not only this thought and understanding, but literally, you're not far from the kingdom of God. That kingdom which Jesus brings to us through his person. That relationship of the love of Jesus. Because for us, and for our declaration in terms of our teaching and our understanding, Jesus is the Son of God. So here he is, not far from the kingdom that's offered in and through our Lord. Today, as we contemplate and as we kind of take a look at the struggles that are placed before us, as we attempt to manifest our identity as Catholics, as we attempt to proclaim, you know, our teaching, to share those teaching with others, we make sure that we listen to what the Lord says about loving our neighbor as ourselves. And in any aspect of us helping others, we do so with the sense of love, only with the motivation to bring them and our community closer to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.